Welcome to ASEAN Insights, Understanding Southeast Asia, the premier podcast that examines current dynamics defining the region. Brought to you by the Economic Research Institute for ASEAN and East Asia, each episode we will talk with thought leaders who are shaping the future of the region through research, policy, activism, or business.
Hello everyone, and welcome to this episode of ASEAN Insight. I'm Tara Bellwood, a student from Achiches, and I'm currently doing an internship with IRIA. I am joined today by Diane Lutfiana, or FIA, a research associate with Economic Research Institute for ASEAN and East Asia. She is currently involved in various energy and development research, including low carbon energy transition, Asia carbon capture, utilization and storage, biofuels development and energy statistics under IRIA's Energy Research Affairs Department. Today, we will be discussing electric vehicles and road transportation demands, as well as discovering what plans and goals have been made for ASEAN surrounding vehicle impact. So welcome, FIA. Thank you for joining me today for this podcast. You're currently involved in various energy and development research with IRIA. Could you tell us a bit about your current research projects and what it entails?
Yeah, thank you for inviting me to this podcast. So briefly about what I'm currently doing with IRIA Energy Research Affair, related to this topic, me and Dr. Aloysius Joko Purwanto as energy economist IRIA and another research associate, Chitra, been involving in the study of electric vehicle influence and penetration in the Asian region, as well as vehicle technology impact assessment for Indonesia. Apart from that, I also involved in the as a coordinator to the Asia Carbon Capture Utilization and Storage Network, so-called Asia CCUS Network, established in mid-2021. While these networks aim to be as a knowledge hub in the East Asia Summit region to share experiences and research related to CCS and CCUS. And I also involved in the working group meeting on energy outlook and energy saving potential in the EAS region, collaborated with the Institute of Energy Economics, IEEJ, Japan.
Wow, so some very interesting work I see. What would you say is the outlook of vehicle transport demand in the ASEAN region?
As we know, demand for motor or mobiles to transport passenger and freight has been rapidly increasing in the ASEAN region. Based on IRIA study on vehicle technology impact assessment in 2020, we see that sales of passenger cars were estimated to grow to around 3 million cars per day by 2025. And then these upward trends are in accordance with the estimated increase of the energy consumption in the region, especially from transport sector, from 141 to 309 million tons of oil equivalent in 2019 and 2040 respectively, under business as usual scenario, according to our Energy Outlook project conducted in 2022. And then as demand for petroleum increases, the region's oil self-sufficiency has also declined greatly, and the CO2 emission increase as well. And then fossil fuels, especially oil, remain the dominant fuel source in the transport sector until now. So as such, this sector is responsible for around 24% of direct CO2 emission from fuel combustion, and road vehicle account for nearly 75% of transport CO2 emissions.
I see, okay. So you spoke about estimated growth of sales and demands for the future of EV. In relation to EV development, What are some ways in which ASEAN countries are working towards achieving these goals?
Yeah, as we know that the effort to introduce electric vehicle aim to mitigate the increase of GHG emissions, especially from road transport. And then based on area study, we found that ASEAN countries has announced policies to promote electric vehicles, including hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and battery electric vehicle, which to reduce oil consumption and air pollution, yet increase demand for electricity. And then ASEAN automotive industry as well started to experience in adoption of the electric vehicle. Nowadays, it has a potential market and manufacturing hub for electric vehicle. According to Motor Intelligence studies, they estimated that the Asian EV market at nearly around $500 million US dollar in 2021. And then it is also 54% of new car sales and 33% of global car fleets are expected to be electric by 2040. Out of it, more than 50% will be battery electric. So it can be seen that policymakers are putting in place incentives to drive the adoption of electric vehicles as part of climate commitments within the region.
Okay. So you mentioned that nearly 54% of new car sales and 33% of global car fleets are expected to be electric by 2040. So have there been any specific targets and goals set by ASEAN countries surrounding EV sales and EV accessories, such as, say, charging stations? And if so, what are they?
Yeah. So as a few ASEAN countries has announced non-legally binding for EV targets, even though some targets include provision for hybrid vehicle and low emitting vehicle, hence not only exclusively for electric vehicle. And then, however, if we are looking closely to each ASEAN country's target for EV, we see that Indonesia, the region's largest economy, wants to sell only electric cars and motorcycle by 2050. The government also targeted 20% of vehicle production to be electric vehicles or hybrid vehicles by 2025. And stocks of it targets to be at 2 million electric passenger vehicles and 13 million electric motorcycles by 2030. It can be seen that the government show their effort by giving a fiscal and non-fiscal incentives to both EV automakers and battery manufacturers to be developed in Indonesia. Yeah, we can see that electric vehicles are become more popular in Indonesia. Can see from the ride-hailing companies like Grab and Gojek, they are provide the electric vehicle services in their service. And then a cooperation with the local power supply PLN also try to expand its fleet charging infrastructure. And in the coming years, public transportation operators in Indonesia, such as Transjakarta, want to increase their electric bus fleet to 10,000 units to be used in as a public transport. And then looking at the different country like Brunei Darussalam, they have a target about 60% of total annual vehicle sales for EVs by 2035. And then Thailand's government adopted new government incentives to accelerate the transition to electric vehicle. It says that the cumulative production of EV by 2025 will be like around 250,000 electric vehicle, with 3,000 electric buses and 53,000 electric motorcycles. In addition to that, 30% of all vehicles produced will include 2- and 3-wheelers, light-duty vehicles, and urban buses should be as an electric vehicle by 2030. Malaysia is targeting to set up 10,000 electric vehicle charging stations by 2025. And last country that we studied is Singapore. It sees that Singapore has been at the front run of EV charging infrastructure in ASEAN. And they have a target 100% of new car and taxi sales to be clean energy model, which also assumed to be electric vehicles by 2030. And then the country also target to phase out from internal combustion vehicle assets for all vehicle by 2040. Moreover, the Singapore government has also set new targets of $22 million between 2021 and 2025 to promote EV adoption. In tandem, Singapore has successfully established itself as the key R&D hotspot for its EV industry. So we can see here that the integrated transport and energy infrastructure planning and operation can potentially enable the system of the electric vehicle development, aim to reduce the environmental, social, and economic impacts, and as also an effort to decarbonizing the transport and energy sector. So with all those efforts, we can say that not only the public and private sector, but the government has an important role to achieve the country's target for EV.
Wow, so there's been quite a lot of targets and efforts made. So you mentioned about the government showing their efforts. But I was wanting to know that I'm sure everything isn't smooth sailing all the time. What would you say are some challenges that these countries face moving forward with this adoption?
Yeah, we believe that everything always comes with challenges that they face in terms of policy framework or charging infrastructure development. And then we can see in a way of EV adoption in South Asia, there are several challenges that they still face is that the lack of public charging and infrastructure become one of the main challenges of the countries to develop the EV electric vehicle. And then it's reflecting from Indonesia, we can see that the high cost of ownership is still pretty concerning. In Indonesia, the price of electric vehicle cars are still high. And then there's a concern also about safety, driving range, and operation and maintenance of electric vehicle. Lastly, also the concerning about the energy sources to power the electric vehicle. Because that if we want to develop the electric vehicle by using the current power generation, which is coal, then it means it's hard for us to achieve the decarbonization target because it doesn't really show that we reduce the emission from vehicle, but at the same time, we also produce more emission from the power generation or power source to generate the electricity for electric vehicles.
Okay, so even with these challenges and concerns that stand in the way of EV adoption, President Joko Widodo is pushing for Indonesia to use only electric vehicles, giving instructions to central and regional governments only to use electric vehicles as official vehicles, even going as far as to create a new city that will maximize electric vehicles. What are your thoughts on this? Do you think that other countries in ASEAN will follow what's happening right now?
Yeah, we pretty much know here about that Indonesia will move their capital city to the new one. Briefly about that, the main purpose of the development of the new capital city, or we call Ibu Kota Nusantara, IKN, is a part of the government's effort to promote inclusive economic development. And this new capital city is trying to mainstream the concept of green economy, green energy, smart transportation, and effective and efficient governance as a milestone in the great transformation of Indonesia. And then regarding maximizing the deployment of electric vehicle in IKN, I think it is a great way to establish, let's say, the most sustainable city in Indonesia would be. But it should be integrated with the development of public transport. In Jakarta itself, the amount of EV public bus is growing, and it would be great if IKN could also maximize the use of EV public bus with its transport system and creates public transport as the main transport mode along with bicycle and pedestrian way. Again, need to be noted that the government should be careful regulating the EV deployment in the new capital city, not creating more emission from the point of source or power generation sector to supply the electricity for electric vehicles, unless the main purpose of creating IKN, as a sustainable, environmental friendly city will not be achieved. That's what I think.
Okay, well, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts on this. I really appreciate you taking your time to join me for today's podcast.
My pleasure. Hopefully the audience could get some knowledge, new knowledge from our podcast. Thank you for inviting me again.
Thank you very much. I certainly gained some insight from that. And thank you everyone for joining this episode of ASEAN Insight.
If you have any questions about the issues explored in this episode, email us at contactus@iria.org. If you enjoyed this episode, follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and other streaming platforms so that you will be notified about future sessions.